Rules Committee time is 18, March 22nd, 1988. Members present, Representative DeVar, Representative Roosendorf, Representative Martin, Representative Pettijohn. We have before us Senate Joint Resolution 21. We have a proposed House Rule CS. Note for the record, Representative Gruenberg is also present. Neela, did you want to address the CS? Neela?
He's still leading one.
Do you want to address the CS?
The suggested changes were proposed by Sustain Alaska, which is a statewide organization centered in Anchorage. Essentially, they make the Senate resolution much more like the House resolution, and then drawn up by us. Legal service in line with the ones they have, but the procedure that the legislature. It also called upon us to urge that we have the summit conference here in Alaska, which I think would be quite a cool for the arranger, and it would tend to center world attention on the problems of Alaska and the Arctic subarchipelago.
Okay, there was a question on page 1, line 28. The language there suggests that the defense buildup that or work that the United States has done has been in preparation for nuclear war. I guess it kind of suggests that that's the reason why we did it rather than for national defense.
Well, I don't look on war, preparation for war, calling it preparation for war necessarily saying it's offensive war or defensive war. For the onset of war in any event, it's war.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the purpose of our nuclear weapons is to deter war. Deterrence is why we build these weapons. We hope they'll never be used. We are trying to prevent war. That is the purpose of the weapons.
We're carrying out the old Roman precept in times of peace, prepare for war.
Well, the Romans lasted about 600 years. I mean, they knew they were doing something right.
Only for 600 years.
I don't think that follows as part of the argument.
Huh?
Anyway, I mean, you're just no, changing the premise of your argument.
Well, you brought the Romans up.
Mr.
Representative Mark.
I'd want to, on that thing, in the line above there, number one, we keep on using same classes. To the best of my knowledge, there's five people. A high school kid, I know he's a college guy that lives in my area, tells me he votes. And some of the facts that they bring out that are in here may not be verifiable, although Neela says it is in his book, on his brief. On line 25 and 26, that's inflammatory to tell us what the national debt is. Has nothing to do with the bill, and I think it should be deleted. It's just inflammatory saying, look what they're doing with war, and it isn't.
Well,
and that is mostly due to many programs that we have for the human race and for survival of the government and everything else. I really think that section ought to be brought out because it's really misleading. You have to read it a couple times to see what they're saying, and you think they're talking about war here, they're talking about the military budget. And it's not, because right in the same sentence they say deployment of nuclear weapons increases the budget. You know.
Well, it does. They're pretty expensive.
Right, and so you say that the budget has grown from $1 billion to $2.6 trillion because of nuclear development? No, that's not true.
No,
but it's implied in
there. Food stamps went up that way.
So
they're
mixing it. It's just
been largely
misleading.
Due to defense spending.
No education spending.
No, come on. You look at the budget.
You see, and it's on line 10, non-nuclear uses. And this is going to lead into another question on another page. We talked about the proposition that Alaska passed through on nuclear freeze, Arctic.
Where are you now?
Well, the thing is that we have many documents showing that Canada is being most successful in using nuclear slowpoke reactors as a major means in meeting its nuclear its energy needs for village people. They've been most successful at that. And even in Alberta, they have two major small communities using slowpoke reactors that are very environmentally sound, very safe. And why should we stop ourselves from non-people usage? We have a whole list here that came out of Navy Board College of Russia. You know, he makes a statement in here about Gorbachev and how great he is, nuclear-free Arctic. But the point is in here is that we have a whole list of nuclear propulsion ships. Now, not always for war, but they're using the whole damn list here, two pages of them, small ships and large ships, that Russia had found as a major way in solving its economic problem, its pollution problem, its merchant marine problem. And there's things that we probably should be looking into for economic betterment. And yet we use this non-nuclear uses. Why don't you go back to the caveman era?
What are you referring to?
Line 10 in your title is 1. Non-nuclear usage, and you have it in another sentence here, page 3, line 15. Decrease the military usage for purposes for people non-nuclear usage. Nuclear energy is a major thing in this world. Look at France, the whole country is
going
nuclear.
We're not going to divert the whole amount of money that's going into nuclear weapons research and production into nuclear use. There are a lot of other things that we need them for. Improving our streets, roads.
Nuclear energy has been proving itself, and our neighbor, our friends, our father to be Russia, is using
it. It's already a budget for those things in the Department of Energy.
Well, it should be taken out of this thing here. You're saying we want non-nuclear energy, peaceful non-nuclear purposes. Why should we go back into the fourth world?
We're not.
Canada, 2 months ago, announced that it's building 8 submarines.
Terry, there is already a budget for peaceful uses of nuclear energy. It's not in here. We don't refer to it. We don't say doing away with it. We're talking about, you know, doing away with the military nuclear budget.
Peaceful purposes, why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you say non-nuclear peaceful purposes.
Okay, because you already have a budget for peaceful nuclear uses, which is completely outside of this resolution. It has nothing to do with it, and certainly that seems to be more than adequate at this point for those research and development in that area.
Mr. Chairman, on another point, since we're on page 3, line 22 and 23, we talk about the resolution being sent to the majority leader of each house. I don't see why we shouldn't send it to the minority leader of each house. We're talking about a non-party situation here. We want all the leaders of our national government to know what we're asking for. Why not add
it? It's the usual format that we use. We've varied that before.
And that time we've used, we sent them to both groups. Then on 9/11, page 2, and in the past we've done this, but we often put a sentence in there praising Reagan. And here we praise Gorbachev, and saying it's really great in praising Gorbachev, but they don't want to condemn Reagan. And I think Reagan has done an awful lot. We ought to give him some credit. And short yesterday with the Soviet counterparts, and he's really going to step forward in that
attitude. Considered to be praising him too.
Some statement he said that.
We gave him credit on page 1, line 26.
Mr. Chairman?
Sam Groenberg.
If I may make a suggested amendment, if the sponsor is agreeable. I think technically on page 3, line 22, we have the majority leader of the U.S. House, but we don't have the Speaker of the House. I think I'd like to move that before we put Mr. Foley's name, we put the Honorable Jim Wright, Speaker of the House.
He might like that.
And I so move.
Okay, we probably also ought to put in Bush.
I agree. We ought to put in Bush. And I think
next president of the United States.
I thought Kemp.
Kemp. In 1990.
And I don't have any problem
Jesse Jackson
with adding
the two
minority leaders, too.
Do you have any problem with adding? Okay, amendment's been made. Is there, or offered, is there any objections? Without objection.
Mr. Chairman,
right, the two minority leaders.
I would like to ask the honorable representative from Fairbanks that, aside from making us feel good, which I suppose is a worthy goal, because I think we should all try to feel as good as we can in as many ways as we can, and this is obviously going to make some people feel good to pass this. What good is this going to do?
Well,
you think George Shultz is sitting around with Shevers Nadze back in D.C. right now, kind of wondering, well, where does Alaska stand on all this?
I would hope that it would have some effect on focusing interest in Alaska, and they would take seriously the suggestion that the summit be held up here on because of the geographical context and also the historical context. I think it may be a little move in that direction. The president has already met the Pope up here, and I think that we just follow in that tradition.
Well, we can have a meet up here, but we don't have to have some of the things that are so weak here.
But this would give them a purpose to
answer your thing here. That's
well, Gorbachev has, in fact, Gorbachev has made this offer in line with the telegram that the minority leader sent last year. Urging the president to hold a summit last year, actually, spurred him to put this in, and replying to Gorbachev, getting him to come here if he's not going to come to Washington. Sort of a halfway ground, yet it is American soil.
I see that when we passed our bill last time, we sent copies of this to Gorbachev and Max Kempelman, the head of the delegation and negotiator. Do you want to send them to this one to the
Senate? The format we have on the bottom there is the Senate format, and we didn't look at that. We just assumed that they had adopted
it. No, they didn't. Yeah. Do you want to, should we put it in?
I think that would be a
I would at this time, Mr. Chairman, move also that we include copies to the Honorable Mikhail Gorbachev, General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, and also to the Honorable Max Kempelman, Head of Delegation and Negotiation.
Okay, are they still in those positions? I mean, I know Gorbachev.
Or whoever. Whoever.
I don't know that Kempelman still got that job.
I don't know, but whoever is.
Okay. Amendment's been offered. Is there any objections? Without objection, adopted. Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, on page 2, line 13. We talked about Gorbachev saying portions of the Arctic. What portions were they talking about? Our portion, Canada's portion, not Russia's portion. I thought you all in the past talking about it, you telling me about the whole Arctic being nuclear free.
Well, frankly would like them to do that, but the way that they're going at it, you know, they certainly seem to be agreeing on piece by piece approach. And so wherever they start, it's hard to. It would be difficult for me to suggest to them a global solution, or rather easy to suggest a global solution. But my assumption is that the diplomatic process goes by sector and sector.
See, on page 3, line 2, you're offering the whole state of Alaska, and in the resolution, it offered the whole state of Alaska. So, you know, why should we accept Gorbachev saying portion, and we don't know what portions he says? And Canada, of course, does none of this. You know, the resolution was misleading, and that Canada did not pass nuclear-free zone for the Arctic. It was two provinces that did, and one province absolutely opposed it, because they felt that it would be prevented.
We spoke of the Northwest Territory of Yukon.
Yeah, because they thought that they would be prevented from using peaceful uses in the slowpoke. They absolutely opposed it. But yet you guys keep on throwing Canada. So the only thing I see that you got going for you is Gorbachev says this, but this report here from the U.S. Navy War College shows Maybe they are going forward to pass.
Would it, that's a paper written by a student at the U.S. Coast Guard.
Would it be...
It's more than a student, fella. It's better than that student you have at UAA called Shane or whatever.
Would it be acceptable to suggest on page 2 that instead of singling out General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev, if we said that whereas leaders of both countries have expressed a desire to negotiate a nuclear weapons-free zone portion of the Arctic?
Well, you know, if Gorbachev made this offer, I think we should be prepared to hold him to it. That's the reason I'm putting it in there rather than a general statement stating where he said it and when he said it. That's the best way, I think, to hold him to it.
Any further amendments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
I'm just discussing.
I have a question here. I'd like to see what, on page 2, line 5, I would like to see what evidence can be gathered to establish that the production of fissionable materials can be verified with a high degree of confidence. Do we have any evidence of that?
Well, I'm going by articles in the technical press and science.
Can you cite them? Can you cite them?
Not off the top of my head, but we gave them a lot of them in backup for the original HJR form.
I don't know that that's true, and I think that's questionable. Production of fissionable materials to verify with a high degree of confidence.
Representative Buesendorf.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I was a diplomat from another country that wanted to make something of a resolution, even though I know that you look at the therefore let it be resolved clauses to make your decision of what they're driving at, it was brought to my attention that line 28 and 29, that still does not ring true in my mind of the message that we want to get across. And I've dabbled with several terms that put in there while you were talking, and the best that I could come up with is just a one-line change, and that would be in between, since 1981, the defensive preparation. Use the word defensive. Because that just stands out there, and I guess they say a strong defense is a good offense. We know that we could battle with words back and forth what we're trying to do with the balance of terror. It just strikes me preparation for nuclear war has caused, it just kind of rubs wrong in the message we're trying to get across. We're trying to say that we're defensively, you know, we've been preparing for it, not that we're preparing for it to have a first preemptive strike, even though that probably is what some of our capabilities are. But I would be more comfortable if we put for the defensive preparations of nuclear war than just say for preparations of nuclear war. Because any person who is in politics knows that what preparation is. But then again, there may be other people that would just take that out and say, okay, so they admit they've been preparing for it. Now it's costing too much and they don't want it.
Any objections? Without objection.
You're putting in, just inserting the word defensive?
Right.
Yeah. Another round of first strike.
Representative Mark.
I'm telling you, on page 1, whereas on line 24, and I'd like to know that we delete this because it really is answered better in what the speaker said on the next whereas, but and whereas before that, it's really misleading. Therefore, I'd like to ask that we delete that whereas on line 24.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Buesendorf.
Are those numbers true?
We don't know. It's saying Alaska.
I mean, are they within the ballpark?
Yeah.
Well, we can say 3 trillion and be close to it, too.
It's not what happened. Simply something like contributed to increasing the cost. The concern here, Mr. Chairman, seems to be that it is the sole reason for the increased cost. Why don't we throw some words in there contributed to the increased cost?
Yeah.
And then you can talk about your food stamps or whatever the program that you wanted that was offensive to you.
Would that be acceptable?
Well, the main thing is that thing is used to inflame the whole issue. And it really has nothing to do with the issue of looking for peace and non-nuclear military.
It definitely has something to do with the issue. I mean, it has helped contribute to the budget deficit.
Every item in the budget's contributed.
Absolutely.
And the last sentence, whereas, does that on page 1. It's more specific.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask Mr. Representative Caponin if he has any idea of how much out of the total defense budget, which runs this year somewhere in the area of, what, $285 billion, how much of that budget is devoted to production and deployment of nuclear weapons.
I can't cite that.
I'll tell you what, it ain't much. It is not that much. When you take $285 billion, most of which goes for ships and sailors and soldiers and tanks and all the rest of it, airplanes, weapons, you know, aren't that expensive. You're indicating that $1.6 trillion over the last 7 years is because we've been building bombs, which is absolute nonsense.
A figure taken from a publication, the Defense Monitor, volume 16, number 7, and I think we have a copy of that available downstairs, but that's the figure that's cited in the...
What figure?
Both of these figures are drawn from that one.
Well, my question is, do you have any numbers that show how much it costs this country to build nuclear weapons? And I'd say it's very small.
Well, I think that overall that figure is in part a, not part of the general information. Part of it, many of the parts of that total are hidden in other areas. Military secret, like part of it is hidden in the budget of the Department of Energy, which is responsible for the production of uranium and that's used for nuclear weapons. Doesn't even appear in the military budget.
A note for the record that Representative Hoffman has been present for most of the meeting. Representative Grusendorf.
Well, I was going to pass, Mr. Chairman, on the remarks. I was going to throw out some old statistics, but did we decide whether or not on line 24, someplace in there, would say contributed to the incomes or to the increases or something of that nature, and we just launch off into statistics?
Strike the numbers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that we're pointing out the fact is that when you throw numbers in here doing the same way, you could be in words.
How about if we added contributed to increases in the United States budget deficit and left off the $1 billion to $2.6 billion? Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay.
It contributes perhaps to the deficit. The same way the next number, it contributes to the cost of defense. But as Nilo said, we even guess all over what parts it is. They put the whole military budget in there, and that's not true. down here in the Coast Guard, he ain't got nothing to do with the nuclear.
Okay. He doesn't appear in the military budget either.
Okay, the amendment's been offered on the. Whereas beginning on line 24. Is there any objection?
I'm sorry,
It would read the burgeoning defense budget required for production and deployment of nuclear weapons contributed to increases in the United States budget deficit, period. Or, and.
And what? Oh, I
and
see.
And then on to the
so we strike the figures, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Without objection, that's adopted. Representative Greenberg.
I just have a technical question. And I support what I support the language that's in here, but it's a technical question. It's the language that we are adding on page 3, lines 8 to 10 about the summit conference. When we passed our House Joint Resolution 4, we had similar language in there. And I like the language. But the title of that was just said relating to a nuclear weapons-free zone in the Arctic, the subarctic, and the world. So I think it was within the scope of the title. The Senate made a real long title, and I think they did it because they didn't want any amendments here. And my technical question is whether that particular clause is within the scope of the title. I would hope it is, but I don't want them refusing to concur because it's not within the scope of the title if they don't like what we've done.
I think that it would fit under the last sentence of the title that says requesting a state congressional. Oh, no, that would
no, that's not.
Mm-hmm. It is questionable.
And I would just ask if Sherry or somebody could double check on that point because I don't want them tossing this thing back into a conference committee on a technicality.
I did take a copy of the proposal to Senator Elias.
It is questionable.
I asked him a couple of times, but he was always busy with other affairs.
I just want you to be sure. And if there's a technical problem, then if nobody raises it, we're okay. But I don't think anybody around here is going to raise it. But I just don't want it to be around on a technical basis.
Well, if the President proposes any of the above matters, he can propose where the meeting to discuss it takes place.
I would think so. I just am pretty
close. It is his prerogative.
We'll check that. I don't think that's real controversial. Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, on line 21, page 2, we make a statement here that as if the President hadn't done anything, and I think that we're behind the time. The President has been very forceful in his request with the Soviet Union's and various proposals to nuclear weapons. And I'd like to change this word so that we're not telling him that he's not doing anything. But change would say that in the United States is encouraged to continue its proposals to the Soviet Union.
Acceptable to me?
Mr. Chairman, you know, Reagan and Gorbachev were talking about a cutback. They're not talking about a freeze. They want to reduce their nuclear weapons by 50%. I mean, this is outdated, this language.
Yes,
that's the subject sort of proposal, and I don't know if they're going to get anywhere, but we're talking about reduction of the strategic nuclear weapons by 50%, and you're asking them to freeze it. You're behind the times with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You really are.
We're saying Alaska.
Is that a subject of another amendment you're going to offer?
No, I'm not going to offer any amendments to this thing. But I'm just telling you, you're behind the times. It's not a freeze they're talking about. They're talking about a reduction.
In this time,
I would imagine the sponsor would seriously consider such an amendment.
No, this is just ridiculous.
Flag waving. Make Chris Colefield nice up in language.
I think that I have never. I don't think I have ever, in my career here, risen to a point of order in a committee meeting. But I'm about to do that right now, and I think that we all are friends here. And we all have a certain amount of courtesy to each other. And I think it's really not only a violation of the rules, but in not your usual high standards to impugn somebody's motives, and I would request that we don't.
Whose motives are impugned?
Let's keep the debate on a high level.
Okay, no more impugning motives at all. Request removal from the committee room. Representative Martin.
Mr. Chairman, was that word acceptable in line 21 that I made that? It said that the United States is encouraged to continue the proposals.
Proposals to the Soviet Union?
To continue the proposals to the Soviet Union. But then the next question comes with what Representative.
Well, let's take
a look. Mr. Chairman, in all seriousness, the question that the superpowers are negotiating right now is not a freeze. They're negotiating a reduction, and this thing is not
committee meeting
current.
Chair.
Okay.
It just doesn't make sense to talk about a freeze when these people are talking about a reduction.
If I can be excused, I have a committee that's waiting.
Can they get along without our quorum? Can they get along without us?
I have to chair it.
Can Johnny do that for me?
Apparently not. He's not. I'm not there. Johnny there? Is Johnny Ellis there?
He's not.
Sorry.
We'll carry you.
On the matter of freeze, the freeze is in the Senate title.
Well, it's outdated. It's just outdated. You need a reduction in nuclear weapons is what they're really talking about.
Martin Amendment, is there any objections to it on line 21? Without objections, it's been adopted. Do you want to work on new language?
You can't do it. It's in the title.
Representative Martin.
I didn't get the news yesterday, Mr. Chairman, straight, but I think they're going beyond what it says here in the specific aspect in yesterday's news, that they were talking now about the long-range missiles, not the short-range, but there was something about the short said that they're advancing further than he's ever expected, especially with the long-range complete wipeout. And I thought that when I was reading this and then heard that news flash, that's interesting. They are scheduled to meet this summer. It looks real positive according to the news article.
Well, I think we're holding ourselves up to some degree of ridicule by urging the President to try to get a freeze on the production of weapons when he's negotiating a 50% reduction in them.
Reduction is at least a step towards a freeze. Is that correct?
No, it's well beyond a freeze. A freeze is just you keep what you got and don't make any more. They're talking about taking what they got and cutting it in half, what they've already got. Am I wrong? I mean, that's what I read in the papers. I don't know.
Yeah. With the short range reason.
No, the whole strategic, the big ones, the boomers.
Mr. Chairman, with the state of the arts and military affairs, nuclear weapons, one of the work of five or six antiquated ones.
I understand that, but a freeze is well below the goals which they've set for themselves. A freeze means status quo. They're talking about reductions. And why in the heck? I mean, maybe this thing was introduced, I don't know, it was introduced 2 years ago, or whenever it was. It might have been appropriate at that time, but today, it's really outdated. It really is. Introduced 3387, a year ago. That was before Reykjavik, you know.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Grusendorf, much as I hate to admit it, the Representative Pennyjohn is correct that years ago we always talked about a nuclear freeze. And now, by what we hear and read in the newspapers and other accounts, they're actually talking about a reduction of numbers, not the status quo of the numbers. And I don't know how we can work it out, but I think we should, because if we don't do it here, we're going to hear about it on the floor. And even in a resolution such as this nature, you have to have a little bit of idealism. It's not quite as precise as a piece of legislation we put into our statutes, but I think that Representative Pennyjohn is correct on that terminology.
Mr. Chairman, you know, they did not freeze intermediate nuclear forces in Europe in the treaty that was just signed by Gorbachev and Reagan in Washington, D.C. What they did is they eliminated it. It wasn't a freeze, it was actual destruction of weapons. And that's already been, you know, signed by the president and the head communist over there. And now we're saying freeze. It's just, it doesn't.
The U.S.
Senate
refused
it
to go along with it.
No, that's not true, too.
They haven't signed it?
They will.
Any other questions or comments? Representative Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on line one, in that title, I think the Senate would go along with it. You should say, requesting the President of the United States to continue reductions of international nuclear weapons. So, I thought that you brought that up in the section of the bill, but maybe in the title also emphasize that. And also, we said verification of safeguards for the freeze, for the reduction. The whole title should be changed to update what's going on.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. We've just had a
suggestion has been made that rather than a freeze, a reduction is currently ongoing through negotiations, and that the title and the resolution be changed to reflect the reduction rather than the freeze of nuclear weapons.
I'm going to object to the amendment for the purpose of discussion, because we can't pass this. This is a Senate resolution. We'd have to have a concurrent resolution to amend the title. Are you suggesting we do that?
You got to, because it's so outdated now.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just sort of restate briefly what the majority leader and co-chair has. The INF treaty was not a freeze on weapons in Europe. It was the elimination of a whole class of weapons. This has already been negotiated and signed. The negotiations going on between Schultz and Shevardnadze are not about a freeze. They're about a 50% reduction in strategic ICBM weapons. This is freeze, freeze, freeze. They've gone beyond the freeze. To send us back there, I think, is going to hold us up into a little bit of ridicule. Why are these guys sending us resolutions about a freeze? We're not talking about a freeze. We're talking about reducing the number of weapons that each side has. Am I wrong?
Mr. Chairman, I am just concerned about the practicalities of this thing. We are now moving down the road into the last half of the second session, and I don't want to see this thing lost on a technicality because of a title amendment. And I have no objection to the language. Frankly, I think that the way people look at these things is that as long as it's broadly within the title, you're okay. And I just raised my other thing because I wanted to check out, and I understand that it is okay. The chair has checked it. I think we can put within this thing a reduction, and it's not going to require a title change.
Okay.
I think let's just do it without worrying about the title.
Okay.
Well,
would you be willing to work on that?
You bet. You bet. And if the member wants to make a suggested amendment, and it's
agreeable. We'll make the amendments here. I think the nuclear disarmament by all nations in the title would cover reduction of nuclear arms, too.
Are you making an amendment in the body of the bill?
Well, I think you need to go through the whole thing. I mean, you're talking about freezes and freezes everywhere, and how we're going to freeze this and freeze that. And what you really need to do is to encourage the president in the efforts which he has undertaken to try to reduce by 50% what I read in the paper, the number of nuclear weapons that each superpower is aiming at each other. And I'd say, you know, go for it, Mr. President.
I don't have a problem with, if my staff has a little bit of time to work on this, to doing it, coming back within 24 hours with language, if
okay.
you want.
Okay, we'll have a meeting tomorrow morning, a short meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., hopefully.
Probably other
things. You'll be where?
If you want, I'll carry it for you. Or we can pass it out, whatever you want.
I think that the stages of the start out with a freeze and then essentially a series of nuclear free zones, and so those would constitute reductions in that regard. So I'd be.
I don't have a problem with leaving it the way it is. Would you like a motion, Mr. Chairman?
What would the motion do?
I didn't move the bill. I don't know, it's up to you.
Okay. You get Representative Hoffman or about you, please.
See, it's a still.
As a friend of ours said in judiciary, I support the chair. I don't know what you would like. Yes.
Well,
I didn't know if you were looking for.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm right here in the middle of this. We're going to be backward. I guess the floor will have it for this.
Put it on a slow day.
Okay, I don't.
Why don't we redraft?
Okay, we'll work on redrafting it and bring it back.
The problem is, Mr. Chairman, that you and I have a joint economic committee meeting tomorrow, and the sponsor is going to be out of town.
It'll be next week.
Yeah, why don't we do it at a time next week?
Okay.
I know. I'm well aware.
We'll continue the bill till
take it back to the tailor.
Next Monday?
Thank you.
Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
Morning. Meeting adjourned. So you guys want to prepare a second word?